This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hour number two of the Hoffman Show. We are live in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. JP Finley is going to join us live on set here in about 30 minutes. Tuesday is always a fun one here at the Combine. It's kind of a local day. You get all the, you get some of the big stories that start to emerge. And obviously the Commanders are the center of a bunch of rumors. And I got the John Allen thing that came out earlier today where he's been given permission to request a trade. So we'll talk about all that with JP and potentially some others coming up later on in the show. But right now, the whole scouting combine portion of it, like the actual scouting combine, not all the media circus and the rumors and the agents and the execs and everybody that's co-mingling here in Indianapolis, that part. What are we looking forward to with that? And by we, I mean me and Logan Paulson. That was the subject of a special pre-combine edition of Take Command, which we're going to let you listen to part of right now.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in to Take Command. Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here. Slightly abbreviated episode because we are squeezing this one in, Logan, literally between flights for me. I came home just to do this podcast.
It's wild, man. Your schedule is pretty crazy at the moment. And, you know, my schedule is getting pretty crazy, too. It's combine season. We're all moving around doing things. So, but we're here for the content is really what we're doing.
We are here for the content. We're going to try to answer one or two mailbag questions, but we're also going to preview the combine here to begin. And the reason that we are doing this now, we're actually full transparency recording this on Monday night. So this will hit your feeds Tuesday morning. And there's a good chance that as many of you listen to this, I'm either on the way to the airport or in the air on the way to Indianapolis for the combine. We can also tell you that later in the week, we'll have a great chat with Trevor Sikkema. He's agreed to come on the show while we're out there in Indy, so we'll get that done, and then we'll do some kind of combine recap. We are still trying to figure out if we can do our traditional crossover podcast with our Train with the Best pod, the fitness podcast I do with Chris Gores that we do every year. We should do that. Whether we actually thread the needle of doing that in person, we've gotten a couple of interesting mailbag questions on the fitness / football crossover front, so I think we're going to do that episode no matter what, whether it's in Indy in person or not is a giant TBD, because as we started here, Logan, the schedules, they're nuts.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let me just super broad. What are you looking forward to this week at the combine? There's all the individual testing. There's obviously all the trade rumors and free agent rumors that are going to come out on the media side. But like for you, when you go to Indy, you're going to actually watch the workouts. Yeah. You're there as like a scouting type. That is the way your brain is wired this time of year. What are you looking for in Indy?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting because like, you know, the earlier you go, it's kind of more for the relationship elements, right? So like you get to see coaches, scouts, you get to kind of be at the hotel, you go out to the bars, everyone's hanging out, you get to kind of have your relationships with your analytics guys, just kind of building your network. And then as the week goes on, more and more people leave. And again, so I'm kind of one of the few, the proud that stay for the workouts. And the workouts to me are fun because it's a unique way to provide content. I think, you know, one of the things about the Senior Bowl, one of the things about the Combine is it is through a very specific lens. Like when you're there in person, you see things that don't come up. Like I forget the guy, but last year someone tested really, really well and they didn't talk about him on the television show at all, you know, because like they have their kind of, you know, Daniel Jeremiah does such a great job. I mean, like he did really does a fantastic job. Like
I think there's 319 kids working out this year. So like there's not going to get everybody.
Yeah. And so what he does is he kind of says, hey man, these are the five guys I'm looking at. And the broadcast does a great job of highlighting like those five guys. They highlight them in the drills, they highlight them in the vertical, they highlight them in the 40. But there's other guys that are kind of lower down the board, third, fourth, fifth round guys that test really well, measure well. You get to kind of see them interact with the group at a high level and you say, man, these are the guys that, you know, maybe the Commanders. It kind of just flushes out your draft evaluation, maybe kind of says, I got to go back to my notebook on some of these guys. So to me, that's a really fun day. I go sit in Lucas Oil Stadium. Me and my producer, just the guy Jason, we do Ticket to the Draft podcast through the team. You know, we do a podcast every day there, and we just kind of recap all the drills: who stood out, who disappointed, who do we got to go back and watch. And that is it's a really kind of just football nerd thing. You know, it's like when you go to the Senior Bowl, it's like that same type of thing. You're just watching ball, so taking notes on the drills: who looked good in the gauntlet, who didn't look good, who ran well. And then I think I heard this someone articulate this on a podcast I was listening to. I don't remember who, but it's just a kind of way to confirm priors or say, I need to go back and watch more film and just kind of flesh that out a little bit. So that's really the way I look at this, you know, these, what is this, 4 days of workouts. And obviously you look for different things with each group. But to me, it's just like football nerd 101, man. Go watch some guys work out, really get into the scouting kind of side of it. And it's interesting because now a lot of the teams that I have relationships with, a lot of the Sean McVay tree guys, they don't even go to the combine anymore. They watch it all on tape, which again is, I think it's a good way to evaluate because you don't get any kind of bias towards people you've seen in person, but also you miss some of the stuff like in the drills, I think. So it's just different how people are handling it now. But to the original point, that's what I'm doing at the combine.
Right. And so a couple of things that are worth following up on there. One, as you said, early in the week, there's a lot of hobnobbing. There's a lot of the podium sessions obviously happen, and rarely do GMs actually say anything or coaches say anything worth anything in those situations. I'll also tell you that there will be not only the podium sessions for Dan and Adam, but there is a local scrum afterwards, and sometimes you get a little bit better stuff out of there because there's relationships and whatever. So we'll bring coverage of those. Like obviously, you know, all the beat reporters will be writing about it, whatever. I can't, depending on what time that all goes down, there's one of them. My schedule is so upside down that I can't remember who's when, but Dan or Adam, like I'm barely going to get there in time for on Tuesday, tomorrow, today for most of you listening. So hopefully I'll be able to actually be in there and ask a couple questions, but maybe get a little bit more there. But generally speaking, like those are prepared on the record media stuff. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of then the stories and rumors of, because all the agents are there, all the reporters are there, all the execs are there. And so you get all this stuff. You also get, I think, I don't call it misinformation. Like there is misinformation, right? There are some people that try to manipulate the media, and there are many media members that are primed for manipulation because they just want to be told something. And if it's juicy, they're going to run with it. Mm. But you also do genuinely get some really interesting scouting stuff too, is you start to talk about, you know, with lower level scouts, their thing. And so that's why you'll see, oh, I heard one team had a seventh round grade on this guy that everyone else has the first round. Yeah, not one team didn't, one scout did. Like that's a very different thing. And so you start to get those kinds of stories that emerge of the risers and the fallers even before the workouts begin, because some of the people that have been on the road and kind of inaccessible to a large part of the media, like maybe some of the draft folks are in on that stuff and they've got those relationships and they follow the draft all year long. But the kind of team reporters that are more on the NFL schedule, many of the same ways that we are, some of that information starts getting exchanged as well. And I think that's definitely an interesting part of the combine experience.
Dude, 100%. I think that's the thing that's so frustrating about some of these stories that come out. Oh, so-and-so had, like, so for example, I'm doing receivers for my Ticket to the Draft show, which comes out, I don't know, sometime this week, Thursday, probably.
Again, but, Logan, days don't exist. It's combine.
Yeah,
they don't,
yeah, whatever day it is, it's coming out. It'll be
subscribe,
on the
baby. Yeah. That's what you do it for.
And so I went through my receiver list and I had a guy that probably isn't on anybody's list. He's in my top, I think he's in my top six. And like the other guy that I watched film with, he was like, why? And I was like, I'm going to explain it on the show. But this is the time of year where you get those really weird things. You get those weird outliers because it's one dude has made their big board. They're talking about it to another dude who doesn't really watch a lot of film. They haven't come together and had like meetings yet. You know what I mean? Like it hasn't happened yet. It might be kind of laying the groundwork, but I can't tell you how many times I've talked to some of my NFL coaching buddies. They're like at the combine. They're like, I haven't watched any film yet. I've watched zero film.
I remember having a conversation with a coach like that last year. I went to go ask him about a couple of receivers because he was a receivers coach. And I was like, hey, what do you think about this guy? He's like, oh, I heard he's pretty good.
Yeah. You're like, what?
And it's like, and what? He's like, that's your group. He's like, yeah, we got to like, because that's the thing is what's the next thing on the NFL calendar, NFL combine? Okay, great. What's the actual next thing on the NFL calendar?
Yeah.
Free agency. Yes. That's where the attention is focused, which is also why this week is really important. Some of the trades and all that kind of stuff can come together at a coffee shop somewhere in Indianapolis. That's part of the week.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like when I talk to like my agent, my old agent, like he is a man about town during this period because it's like I got to go talk to GMX about player X and really kind of work out a deal. And this is, you know, they talk about like legal tampering. Like this is to me, like when all of that stuff starts, you know what I mean? It all starts right now. Like everybody's talking to everyone. They're always going to a meeting because everybody's all the personnel people are in Indianapolis, at least for a couple of days. Right. So I think that's where it is. It's like it's a cool event because everybody's there. It's a little bit more lock and key than like the owners meeting, for example, but it's a good opportunity to kind of see everybody, get information out there. And I just think like, just be careful with stuff you're hearing nationally, like coming out of this because it's so like we're so preliminary in terms of foundation. Like you haven't talked, like the scouts haven't talked to the GM yet. The GM hasn't talked to the coaches yet. And so they're still kind of completing that information circle. And again, they're going to get this all taken care of and they're going to do a bang out job. But I think people think this is like the thing, but to your point, it's not the thing. It's like kind of a weird anachronistic or asynchronous kind of thing because the next thing is free agent. So like, when everyone's talking, it's like free agency stuff mostly. Some people talk about meetings. Some people say, I'll watch a little film because I got a meeting with this guy today. But it's out of order a little bit in terms of the priority of the combine.
For sure. And it's really hard for guys like Adam who are kind of doing both, right? Like if you're the general manager, that top scout, like you are, especially if you're a scouting type of general manager, right? It's one thing if you are a cap guy or just kind of a leader, more of a leader organizational type of person. There's all these different archetypes of GM. Mm-hmm. But if you're someone who is really in that scouting world and you've now taken on a role that is much, much, much more than scouting, I think that becomes interesting to know where to put your time, even like which meetings do I want to attend, which scouts or which prospects do I want to interview. You have to lean on your scouts. You have to trust your scouts. And it's a little different or a lot different for the Commanders this year compared to last year. Cause last year it's like Adam needs to meet the quarterbacks. Got it. Yeah. Cool. Not that nothing else matters, but nothing else matters nearly that much this year. Who knows what the pick is going to be at 29. So you have to have a really good plan. Luckily for Adam, he's got a lot of experience in his career being around teams that are picking late with his, you know, going back to New England, Denver, where he won rings, and obviously the success he had in San Francisco.
Well, I think that's the other thing that I think really gets kind of shown out during the combine as opposed to other events. You get your local scouts are there, you get your regional scouts are there, you get your like half your country scouts there. So like region is like they break the country up into quarters. They report to one dude who does half. And then those two dudes report to a guy who does the whole country, all of college scouting, right? So, and then that guy reports to Adam. And then they do the same thing on the pro side. So like there's a lot of people distilling a lot of information and kind of working it up the ladder to Adam. And again, this is a kind of an early data point for it. So it's really a fascinating process in terms of like data management, distilling information, getting insight into players, and really trying to cut down the board a little bit, like of guys that don't fit that Commander's tag, don't fit whatever. And we did get a question about like, you know, on the mock draft podcast that we did about how we didn't talk about archetypes for players. I'll tell you this right now. Think more. It's going to be less like tangible stuff and more intangible stuff. So that's the other thing we didn't really talk about is like, I'm watching the drills, but maybe the most important thing that comes out of the combine is the medical stuff and the team meetings that they have, right? Because you get to really get a feel for the guy. So everyone talks about like the Senior Bowl is important, the combine is important, the 30-30 visits are important, right? Those are all important, right? But they're important because they let you understand the player a little bit better, right? They let you kind of see them in your building, that you get to kind of sit them in front of the GM. How do they handle tough questions? And that's why these events are so important. It's again, the football stuff at the Senior Bowl is important. The testing at this event is important, but it's not the thing. The thing is getting to know the athletes in a way that on this side of the media, we can never know, you know, because we don't have access. We don't have a team to kind of go through this information. And that's why I always find it so interesting when after the combine, you see guys like Brugler and Jeremiah and their board totally changes. It's not because they've watched more film. It's because they talked to all their scouting buddies and their scouting buddy was like, actually, this medical thing is way more concerning, or actually, this incident right. in college was way more concerning than we thought. So we're going to bump guys down or taking them off our boards. And all of a sudden, if you get a team that's taking a bunch of guys or a lot of teams that are taking one guy off their board, he's probably not going to go in the first round anymore. So like right. that's the kind of those are the conversations that I think are so interesting. So, you know, checking out those guys that are really locked in from a scouting perspective post combine is always a really good data point for how these meetings went at the combine for some of these athletes.
For sure. And I do believe that Dane's going to pop on the show, on the radio show at the very least. We'll see if the timing works that we can get Logan on a screen before we our two ships basically passing in the night in Indianapolis. But you will hear from Dane Brugler on one of the platforms this week for sure. Again, you'll get Trevor Sikkema. Got stuff lined up with Charles Davis, our buddy, our pal. So it's going to be a really fun week of interviews. To me, like, just selfishly, part of the reason I go every year is like Radio Row is awesome every year. Yeah. Like, you get really great interviews. You get access to guys in person in a way that you just don't. And it's a really fun time. The last little, I'm just going to stick a nugget in at the end here before we get to the mailbag. I was out in Phoenix. The reason part of this is chaos is because I was out in Phoenix for a wedding this weekend. But I did pop in to see my friends at Exos, which is the premier, which I don't say to downplay any of the other tremendous facilities that do combine training. They just have more people that do it through Exos than anyone else, and they've been an industry leader for a long time. But I popped into their facility in Phoenix to see a friend and show my wife around because it's like a fitness Disneyland. Have you ever been to the Phoenix headquarters?
I have not, but I've seen like digital tours of it. It's incredible. Yeah, like they do some really cool stuff, and like from a nutrition standpoint and from like a recovery standpoint, in conjunction with all the field access, the weight room stuff they have, it's a pretty nice spot for sure.
It's good stuff. And they got, I mean, like I was able to see Lorenzo Alexander, our old friend out there. And like, he works with some people in that group, but just one name to watch that I will mostly keep that was not a reporting visit. So I'm not going to tell tales out of school, but I don't think that they'll mind saying that Max Hairston, the DB from Kentucky, watch out for him in the 40 there. Don't be surprised. I would be surprised if that number starts with 4.4 or higher. It's going to be 4.3s. We might be looking at 4.2 for him.
Yeah. I mean, that's always a fun thing too, that I really love about, you know, like when you do go to those facilities and like you do a great job of keeping those relationships. When you hear Daniel Jeremiah on the broadcast or in a podcast leading up and he says, oh, I think this guy runs well, he calls the training facility. They give him the numbers that they've been running. And again, like, it's tough because, as you know, like when you're prepping for a race, there's a lot of other variables. These guys are up
for sure
all hours of the day. But like in training, like he might have run something really special. And so like when Daniel Jeremiah says, watch out, he's not saying that for his health. He's saying that because like he's talked to the people that are training this guy. So that's always cool too, like kind of getting that inside baseball.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to push Worthy's record from last year, but like I think if he doesn't run at least a 4.35 or faster, he'll be very disappointed. I think if he doesn't run a 4.2 something, he'll probably be disappointed, but I'm sure they would probably be like 4.35 or faster the way he's running. So just watch out for that one. Just Toughman told you so. All right, let's get to a couple mailbag questions, and we'll obviously have tons more from Indianapolis this week. All right, that is from Take Command, which you can listen to wherever you get your podcast. We got a really interesting mailbag question about the Commanders defense, and you know, is this a team that could potentially switch to a 3-4 if they do certain things in the draft and all that kind of stuff? So if that is interesting to you, then you can check that out. And if not, well, then there's other interesting questions to happen in next time that we do a mailbag. So you know, there's that. Breaking WNBA news, I just want to mention a real quick, and then JP Finley is going to come through in a few minutes. Diana Taurasi has announced that she's going to retire, a 20-year WNBA vet, one of the all-time greatest women's basketball players to ever play. She just announced her retirement, so that breaking news just coming through the wire. So that just went down for the Phoenix Mercury. Diana Taurasi retiring after 20 years in the WNBA. Of course, the Mystics made a huge trade this weekend. At some point, we'll find time to talk about that. Try to do some stuff on the Hoffman W Sports YouTube page on that front. Ariel Atkins going to the Chicago Sky for the number 3 pick. They now hold 3, 4, and 6 in the W draft. Do the Mystics. But much more on the Commanders and everything else here at the Indianapolis Scouting Combine. Big story of the day, Jonathan Allen. It has been or has requested a trade, and he has been granted permission to seek a trade. J.P. Finley was one of the first people to report it. He will join us to discuss it coming up at 5:30 here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show, live from the Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combines. Those words go together in some order. We're here on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. J.P. Finley going to join us here in about 5 minutes to discuss this bit of breaking news from earlier today. John Allen has been given permission to request a trade. Adam Peters was asked about it earlier today.
They're always these kind of decisions and things you have to come up with are always tough, right? And with John, who's been a great player as a Commander, as a, you know, a football teamer and a Redskin, he's been a great person for this franchise for a long time. So you have to weigh in everything, and we looked at internally and okay, what decision we want to make that we think is best for the team, but also you want to do what's best for that player. So those are tough conversations to have, but you always want to have him civilly, and we have, and his agent's been really good with us, and look forward to coming to a resolution.
So what is best for John? What is best for the team? That's what we need to parse out. Like, what actually does that look like for Allen? Where would he like to go? Are there any fits that already emerge? Obviously, we also, I think most of you are listening or going, well, what's best for the team? Like, whatever. If you can send John to Timbuktu or Siberia and you get a better draft pick back, then sweet. But really, what is the best for the team? And how important is, you know, something that Will Dawkins talks about all the time on the Wizards side of it is, like, you know, when we make these trades for, like, Kyle Kuzma, like, we want to do right by these guys. Having a good reputation in the league matters. And this is the kind of event, by the way, where you see a lot of that stuff, you know, be discussed, and, you know, how it is working with different agents, with different GMs, with different everything, as everyone's coming all together here in Indy. So J.P. Finley's got the latest reporting on all of that. So he and I will chop up what this pending divorce between the Commanders and Jonathan Allen means, and everything else from the day's news. Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard just announced they're going to have an open quarterback competition in Indianapolis. Maybe that winds up coming up. So plenty happening, plenty going on. We're going to talk about it with J.P. Finley next here on the Team 980.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you just saw JP Finley kind of do the the Chris Collinsworth slide.
That was not even close to a Collinsworth.
I mean, you want to try again? You want to try to give it? Here we go.
Everybody. It's in a chair, which is a little more difficult.
Yeah, and there we are. A little too close. Didn't sink the landing. I'm comfortable. Just like you overshot the mark. You hit it too far past the pin.
You are so advanced. What is that? You have a graphic when you go to break?
Yeah, we got commercials on this show.
Bro, my hat's off to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. If you do want good Commanders content, though, JP Finley on YouTube. Very, very good channel. Lots of stuff there.
Yeah, but it's like not produced. Yours is like well produced. Mine is just rugged, raw.
You're doing great. If you want the raw video of Adam Peters talking to reporters today,
I think that's where you go. I think there's a market for that. That's why I always
there is. Yeah. There is. That's probably more of an off-air conversation that we can have about best YouTube practices, but maybe we'll do that at some point over a beverage here in Indianapolis.
Hoff, I have a unique path, dude.
Yeah.
In all facets.
If JP were to write an autobiography, one, that's not going to happen because JP would have to write a book. Two.
My wife wants me to.
Really?
Yeah. She like very much wants me to.
Oh, interesting. I think a unique path would be a good potential title contender.
It would.
All right.
Or Zindiana.
that's this week for you. So John Allen, the trade request comes in today. You confirm the reports pretty quickly. Like, what's the impetus here, if there's anything beyond the obvious of his contract is up and it makes a hell of a lot of financial sense for them to move on from him?
Bro, I think this is strictly just football business, and it's not good or bad. It's just this is how good teams operate. And I think when you look at even the Newton pick from last year, it's kind of setting yourself up to be able to do this. I think we will see it. One of these things where actions are what matter, right? I think we will see it, though, in action when they say we want to do right by John and we want to do right by us. If they can't get a trade, and from what I understand, you're talking about probably like a late round pick swap, like John and a 6, and maybe you get a late 4, something like that. And maybe it's even less than that. Maybe it's John and a 6 for a 5 or something. I don't know. But NFL trade market's so unique and so hard to figure out.
You're not getting a lot in return. People are like, hey, trade it for Myles Garrett.
Right.
Like, that's not how it's
going to
go. I love
the Allen and a 1 for Garrett. Like, that's not going to work. But I think it's highly possible that don't get a trade done, and then the right thing to do for John is to release him so that he is available when free agency opens, when the market opens. And I think we've seen in the past at various times they haven't always really treated their guys in that manner, and I think this will be the first opportunity for Peters and DQ and this group to show they do.
Do you think that matters in this league? I know something on the Wizards side that, like, Dawkins talks about all the time is like, we want to do right by our guys because we think our reputation in the league matters. It's something they clearly care about in that league. in this league that is notoriously harsh in the way it does business, do you think that matters?
I think the NBA, there's so much money floating around and everything's guaranteed that the reputation absolutely matters. In the NFL, where money's hard to get and none of it's guaranteed, money, like, it's similar to the conversation like, oh, free agents are going to want to come play with Jaden. That's great. 98% of those decisions are based on money.
Right.
Like, so maybe that 1%
they will this year because they might have $100 million in cap space.
Right. I mean, but I do think it matters to do things the right way, because I think a big part of it, and I think they're not going to tell us a word about it till there's an Instagram post showing the new contract, but like, I think the McLaurin deal will be indicative of it too. These dudes talk about brotherhood and culture, and part of that, and the Niners do this well. Not to say there aren't contentious negotiations. The Niners take care of their guys when it comes time, right? That's a big part of brotherhood and culture. Like, you want your leaders to buy in the locker room? Cool, but you got to pay them when it's time. And I think locker rooms are full of lots of different people. You've worked the NFL locker rooms, yes, just like me, right? One thing, every single person in there, 53 on the active, now you got 65 in there, they all know how much money the other guy's making. They know what their guarantees are. They know what their bonus structures are. And if one of your leaders is coming up, you either pay them or you give them an opportunity to go, and you do it the right way. With guys in professional football understand the cutthroat nature of this business, but there's still a right and a wrong way to do it.
100%. It's really well said, because I do think that's something that is true on both fronts, right? Guys both get it, that there is a business element to this that is totally undeniable, that eventually will come for them. And they hope that it comes for them on their third contract, when it's just like, well, at least I stacked whatever millions, not on like, oh, I was the rookie last year that got a shot and now, right, I didn't even make the team. But, right, there's going to be a harshness to the business because of the numbers game eventually. But also, there's like an accepted, it's almost like the rules of war, like the rules of engagement type of thing, where like, yeah, but at least, okay, they went about it the right way. And I was talking to a former player over the weekend about, like, he had gotten released here. Funny story, I'll tell you off air, by the way, of running into this player in a very random place. He had been released from here, and like the way they went about it, he was pissed about.
Well, I don't want to guess who the player is, but a pretty common known story is how they handled Morgan Moses a couple of years ago.
Wasn't Morgan, but
okay,
yeah.
But like, there's a right way and a wrong way, and some of that wasn't anybody's fault. It was, they liked Leno. Leno got released out in the, because there's kind of another rung of free agency after the draft where, right, some veterans do get released because the guys they drafted, whatever.
Right. You want a contingency plan right, going into the draft. You actually get the guy that you didn't think you were going to get. Now all of a sudden you got a surplus.
So there's lots of routes, right? But the best way to handle it is to let a guy be free when the, yes, true free agency market opens.
So on Allen, with that front, to go back to kind of the impetus for this, and JP Finley's with us here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, like, I actually think the best thing for the team is also to just let him go as soon as you know that you're not going to have a trade. Am I misreading that math, or is that how that all adds up? Because that gives them more, the second they let him go, they get the cap space. Yeah. So they would have more cap space going into free agency.
I don't think you're in a hurry to do it by the end of this week.
Right.
But I think you get to March 8th-ish. You know what I mean? Like, you'll have kicked every tire. People will call you. I think there's going to be some interest in Allen, specifically from, like, if you look at a pair of NFC North teams in the Vikings and the Lions, and teams that feel like they're on the doorstep there. And John's still a good player, especially if you can get him in, like, a situational thing, and the asking price isn't too high. But, you know, yeah, I don't think you want this to linger, but you got a little bit of time. This is not a surprise to anyone. I don't even think to informed fans this is a surprise.
No. I mean, I think we've all known. Maybe it's like, they didn't realize the trade was an option. But, like, I think if you ask most people that pay attention, was John Allen going to be a Commander in 2025, like, as in the 2025 league year / season, the answer is no, because there's no reason for him to be.
Unless perhaps there was a lane where he wanted to be here so bad, and he told AP or DQ, hey, I really just want to finish my career here, it's home, that like I could take a below market rate. But I don't think he should do that, and I don't think he would.
And I also,
that to me would have been the only path.
So here's the other uncomfortable part of this. I don't know that he fit with them from multiple things. Like, they schematically did things differently.
Agreed with that.
From when he was in the game versus when he was not, like the stretch he was into the start to then he goes out, And the stuff that they did when he went out seems a lot more similar to the way that Dan's defense has played in Dallas and everywhere else he's been. That's been really good. And I draw the conclusion that perhaps there was some disagreement there, and I don't know how much room, like, in a way that I
appreciate. But a lot shifted.
There's, like, I don't know.
The season after the injury, too. You
for
know?
Sure. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, if you're trying to get the new leadership and the new everything, like, Terry is so bought in and so clearly, like, at the forefront of what they're doing. I don't know that John's that in the same way in terms of the transition and the way they go about their business. And I'm not saying, like, obviously, for Washington now, DQ's way is right because he's the one guiding it, and Adam is, you know, right there with him in lockstep. I'm not saying that the way that John thinks about football or whatever doesn't or can't work. I don't think it's the same thing.
It's interesting. I don't know. I think the injury probably impacted that, whereas for me, at best, you could say an incomplete decision on that.
Yeah.
Like, he was just removed and rehabbing for so long. And I think, like, you know, the argument about stadiums is like, well, if you put that money towards something else, there'll be development too, right?
Right.
Like, I if Allen was still on the field, might that defense have changed also?
Maybe.
Like schematically, you know?
Maybe.
And when you saw him come back, I thought he was good in the two playoff games. I thought he was really bad the first game back.
Definitely the best two games that he played all year.
And then didn't they, I'd have to go back, but didn't they kind of like start trying to use him to set an edge in some of the run? I think that was more of a problem with who they had to set edges in the run.
That's
ideal for John, but like that to me shows a level of buy-in. Like, yeah, dude, I'll do that.
But at some point, right, like, would...
But if your argument is simply, I'm not sure he's a fit going forward, I think...
Yeah. Well, I mean, they drafted
clearly, they
drafted Newton for that reason.
Man,
similar.
Funny.
Well, and then you get to the financial side. And the financial side is just a no-brainer. Like, it would... Unless John was playing at a Pro Bowl caliber level, paying him what he is due would be pretty recklessly irresponsible, which is, by the way, how every NFL deal is basically done.
Right.
Because at the end of it, you want to either be able to be like, we have a bargain, like, especially if you give a guy a ton guaranteed up front. I know you know this, but for the audience listening, like, if you give a guy a bunch of money up front, the change is, or the exchange, the way that gets balanced for it to be fair for the player to get the money up front for the team is like, well, we get control on the back end. And if you've played your tail off, you're probably going to want a new deal, and that's our decision. Or we can just move on. And I think it makes sense with where John is and what he's done to move on. The other big Commanders adjacent story today is that Andrew Berry, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, is very insistent they are not trading Myles Garrett. And I had Andrew Siciliano sitting where you are about an hour ago, and he is like, that's for real. Like, they are not trading. Now, we'll see if, you know, there's a holdout situation, whatever, if it gets ugly in July. But, like, I think on the Browns side, they are very much of the mindset that if we just give him the biggest guaranteed deal in the history of the NFL for a defensive player, he'll sign it and hopefully he'll retire at Cleveland Brown. If you are then the Commanders going into this offseason, and Adam had the fun exchange with 48 today about, oh, what big trade could you be talking about? Like, how do you try to build a team when you know getting the best defensive player in football could still potentially be out there? Because that now seems like it's their task. If Garrett's traded, it's not going to be happening anytime soon.
I think today, Tuesday, Garrett is not available. I think Garrett doesn't seem to be the dude to start causing a bunch of trouble, but, like,
no,
Garrett could become available. I think as we get to the draft, Garrett could become available. I feel like if it gets past the draft, he sticks around because they give him just some ungodly amount of money. And they could show Garrett, and this is what all the Browns people I've talked to are saying, that, hey, we're going to sign a veteran. Like, we're going to try to get some stability at the quarterback
position. Right, they think they're close.
Great. I'm not willing to rule out Garrett, but I also think if it's not Garrett, doesn't mean that there aren't moves to be made. Max Crosby, and the Raiders keep saying the same stuff, he has 2 years left on his deal without a single guaranteed dollar.
He ain't showing up.
Would you?
No. And the thing is, like, the way, like, the CBA is, you get fined to hell if you actually legitimately hold out.
But these guys last year, they still wiped it, even though they're not supposed to.
Right. That's the thing. It's like you go to camp. Yeah, you go to camp. You wear T-shirt and shorts. Jamar
did it in
Cincinnati.
Had to send him away.
Yeah.
Right. So you could cause enough trouble. You know, like, I don't know that Garrett's that dude, and I think if the money – I don't – if playing in Cleveland really bothered you, would it only really start to bother you this year when you don't have guarantees on your deal? Because I think he would have been bothered for a while now.
I wonder if he has been bothered for a while and was a good soldier, because I don't think he wants to leave.
He's making a lot of money.
I think, for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, he was also having a ton of success. And, you know, like, Siciliano made this point, which I had forgotten about because it's easy to forget because of how much of a disaster the Browns were this year, but also felt like in previous years because of the Watson stuff. They were in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, like, what was he going to do? Come off a playoff year with Flacco and be like, hey, actually, I want out of here? Like, probably not. Yeah. Like, he does, like, there is a sense of loyalty, which, by the way, when, you know, fans ask about, oh, does he fit in Washington? Like, yeah, he's a great dude. Like, the reviews on Miles as a guy are like A++++. And the fact that he's tolerated this many years in Cleveland, like, actually speaks well to his character. And now I think you just kind of get to a breaking point where you're like, I'm good.
See, it's funny. So Tischler and I just did this on the podcast. What is your percentage chance Garrett gets traded today?
I'd probably say like 40.
Okay, so I was at 50. Mitch was at 75. Like, he's just like, I think it's still happening. I think at best it's a coin flip. And I think I think the Barry and crew have to be so steadfast because they don't want to even entertain it. Because the second you're like, yeah, you know, we've got to consider, then it's done.
Right.
Like as soon as I remember.
That toothpaste is out of the tube.
Dude, I remember when the then Redskins sent out the first press release. It was like, we're going to review the impact of our team name. As soon as you review the impact, you're allowing that there is an impact and it's over.
Bank of America, October 2022.
Yeah, exactly.
We're exploring the possibility of a sale. Right. But then again, the learners put the toothpaste back in the tube. So, you know,
they are a unique bunch.
Yeah, that is to say the least. JP Finley with us here on the Hoffman Show. Anything else from any of the press conferences? I mean, there's stuff that's interesting. Obviously, I don't know if you saw that. I think you were over there, actually. Ballard and Steichen apparently were said they're going to have an open quarterback competition in Indianapolis. Like, there's interesting NFL stuff. Is there anything
that's
else that was said?
That's trying to hold on to your job.
Yeah,
especially
of course it is. Of course it is. Anything
did you hear, I posted a clip of Pete Carroll. Mitch and I were standing there for Pete Carroll, and we're like, we should ask him about Bobby Wagner. And he's like, yeah, you know, I was really happy for Bobby and Dan this year. Really cool year. Bobby's bomb with that quarterback. I think he said something like irreplaceable. And then at the end, almost with like a smirk, he's like, man, he's a free agent. Talking about Bobby.
Yeah.
That is...
sent shivers up your spine?
It's something to watch.
Yeah. It's a West Coast guy.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think it's always interesting listening to the other coaches. Howie Roseman had a line that stood out to me, especially as Washington has to try to chase Philly in their own division, and Howie said, I have an unhealthy obsession with offensive and defensive linemen. And, like, if you watch that team, that's where they just absolutely kick your butt. So
they're real good at finding them.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of a guidepost for Washington.
On the Bobby thing, made me think of this. Like, obviously, they have, was it 28 of their own free agents that are out there, and Adam seems to want to re-sign a fair amount of them, which when you go to the NFC Championship game, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Any in particular that you think are, like, who are the, if you had to rank the top three guys priority-wise for them, not for you, for them, who do you think those three guys are?
I think Chin's got to be near the top. I think if you consider the snap count, I mean, that dude played damn near every snap unless he came off the field for an injury. And that he's younger, you know. It's easy to say Wagner there, but Wagner is older. Chin, I think he's 27.
Yeah.
I'd have to pull it up. I don't have my computer, but I think Chin, you try to get a three-year deal.
Yeah.
And you kind of do what they did with Biotish or Armstrong, where there's a little bit of guaranteed money into a second year, so you're probably able to keep those guys around. I think Chin's at the top of the list. I think Wagner, Ertz.
And I think that's the interesting thing. I don't have a bunch of guys. Like, there's a bunch of guys that I would love to bring back if the price is right. Your Diamis, you know, on down the list. Like, OZ, I think, is an interesting one. Like, there's plenty of those guys. But, like, you get to Wagner and Ertz, the mid-30s guys, pretty quick. And I would pay them, you know, market value, as I guess a funny term, because I think what fans think market value for those guys is versus what their actual markets might be versus what their agents might want
might be
three totally different numbers.
Totally.
But, like, I would bring those two back in a heartbeat, and I would pay more than I paid last year to have them.
I think you'll have to.
Yes.
I mean, that's you know what the cost of eggs are? But I think one thing I found really interesting that I tried to ask AP was like, hey, how important is it to get some of these in-house guys done?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, some of them want to see what the market is. I think Ertz, in his closing comments at locker cleanout, was super clear about wanting to come back.
Correct.
And I think, I wonder if you can get Ertz done before, because he's got a perfect situation. He's got Cliff. He's
got the coach he wants to play, the only coach he wants to play for, and the guy that he said, and this is a guy that might go to the Hall of Fame. And he said, I'd do my whole career over, basically, if I could play with that dude every year.
And he talked throughout the season about how well DQ took care of him. He never practiced on a Wednesday, just let him take care of his body. So I think Ertz, you could get done. Wagner, dude, we had Joel Corey on last week, I think, on our show. And at some point, people got to stop being slaves to the age thing and just look at the production.
Dude was a second team all pro.
Right. Like, if I'm Bobby Wagner, unless that number is very correct, I might wait. Especially,
do you have a number in mind for what that is?
So Corey said 10 mil.
But the thing is, like,
Carroll's in Vegas. Like,
yeah,
he will have options.
Yeah. They got money and.
But every year he's been available, and there's just this really slow train for him. So,
for sure.
I don't know.
I think the other thing to remember is the cash number and the cap number are two very different numbers.
Yeah, Peter's talked about that.
And so, like, if you want to get, I've been using this example, like, if Zach is like, my number's 12 million. And it's a 1 year, 12 million. You can put a void year and make 8 million of that a signing bonus. Now your cap number for this year for him is only 8. You push 4 of it into next year. So, like, there's things you can do cap gymnastics wise, or you just do it this year because you're going to have $100 million after you waive John Allen, or trade John Allen. Last thing, I'm asking everybody who sits in this chair this. It hits a little different for you because you also cover the team. But my question for everybody that I'm asking is there something you learned about the NFL or team building from watching what Washington did this year that either like really clarified something for you, or that you had, it was just like, nope, I learned that in 2025 watching this group work?
I mean, to quote Ron Rivera, quarterback.
that's mean, and I like it.
You get a quarterback, it changes everything. And that's not to say that a lot of other great things didn't happen. And if you care about the emotional, spiritual side of this, they created a real bond in that locker room, and it was special to watch. And I think that carries over in a lot of these close games and everything. And I think they have a pretty good rookie class from last year, and there's a lot of exciting things. But Jaden is my final answer.
Yeah, he solves a lot, slash fishes a lot, slash make sure everything, all the culture stuff comes alive to its maximum
ability. It's easy to buy in when you've got the best player on the field.
That's true. And how many times did you ask guys in that locker room, hey, why'd you win today, basically? And the answer was 5.
Yeah, dude.
And the fact that they know, it's pretty funny.
Remember when Tress shouldn't give his number up was a thing?
Yeah.
I love Tress. He's a dear friend of mine. There's a reason. The reason for all of it.
By the way, the story with his wife looking at him being like, why do you have the C on your chest? Like, that's good stuff right there.
That's the good stuff.
So, what's Truss's wife's name?
Bree.
Bree?
Yeah.
The real captain
of the
Commanders. Shout out to Bree. All right, that's JP Finley. You can hear him tomorrow at the table that's right there. But you'll hear it on the radio on 106.7. The Fan also, they stream live on YouTube over on their page as well.
We don't have commercials, though.
Yeah, well, you do have commercials. You just don't have a graphic that I'm about to play here on the stream. All right, I'm going to hit that graphic now, and then I have no idea what we're doing next, but more from the Indianapolis Scouting Combine.
Real things people said into real microphones.
That's in an hour. Thanks for listening.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.